ago, I released a movie film which brought great shame to Kazakhstan. But now I was instructed to return to Yankee Land to carry out secret mission.
I go to America!
Borat!
What do you say?
Borat.
No, it's not me.
Borat, come back!
People make recognize my face. I would need disguises.
This man is a sex criminal?
No, I'm not a sex criminal.
I will take this to be a fat like American man.
Yeah, this is a good one. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm your host, Kel Smith. Joining me this week is David Weiser from Film Assessment.
Hey, everybody.
And today we are going to be talking about the Borat and Borat subsequent movie film. Or all the other alternate titles this movie has. David, kind of just going into this real quickly, what was your first, what did you think about the first one?
Oh, I thought it was hilarious. Great satire.
It is great satire, but I think I said earlier on the before we did the Trial Chicago 7 podcast that I was kind of slightly underwhelmed, because when this movie came out, I think I was 12. You're just a little younger than me. But so when Borat came out, it was a huge, cultural event. Like, it was a huge, like, splash into the zeitgeist, you know, and it was pretty, R-rated. It was very much an easy impersonation. It was quotable all around my middle school. So yeah, it was a pretty big deal. But I never have seen Borat until literally Wednesday night. And watching it, I was a little underwhelmed. But then you get to the hotel scene where Borat and his producer are like fighting naked, and it kind of looks like they're like 69ing each other. What it looks like, and you're just like, what is happening? And then they run out into, I get, what's the broker's financial conference thing that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was like, what is, so I was like, this is some insane shit. But in it's but yeah, so I enjoyed it. I think it's a very strong preamble or preview of, you know, what was to come in our, you know, zeitgeist. Because I mean, on one hand, you can look at Borat as like this post 9/11 satire of like where our world was in terms of our relation with the Middle East and how we as a culture, we as, you know, the American culture saw, you know, our Middle East, you know, our Middle Eastern, you know, our Middle Eastern, you know, citizens. And then you see Sacha Baron Cohen kind of satirize and kind of point out the, you know, the racism, the homophobia, the everything that, you know, America is, while also playing a character that's racist, sexist, homophobic, all the above. So it's an interesting satire mirror, if you will. And then he does Bruno, which I have not seen. I've only seen clips of. But what were some what stood out to you in Borat, the first one?
Definitely that hotel scene and some of the stuff with, like, the bear.
Jesus, the bear. They got a bear for protection.
The Pamela Anderson whole... that whole gag that like eventually culminates in them like going to a book signing and trying to kidnap her. It's just like, what is happening?
So That had to have been the one thing that was staged, right? Or that had to been one of the things that were staged, right? Like that just did not
Maybe.
just happen.
And then like the dinner scene when he like goes to the home of like those like Southern people,
The
and
Alabama people.
yeah, and he's like trying to learn dinner etiquette, but he totally does not.
But, you know, what's interesting about that scene, though, is you have, you know, what's interesting is that about that scene is while he's in the bathroom, they're kind of like talking about him as a completely different, like, you know, not necessarily equal to him. And that I found that kind of interesting. You know, that Larry Charles, the director, kind of, you know, was like, yeah, they're, you know, we could just, you know, cut right to the gag of, you know, him holding a bag of shit. But, you know, it's also one of the most crucial scenes because, again, it's, you know, Borat, the movie, showing kind of a mirror towards, you know, towards America, and that it's not like, you know, it's not like vehemently racist, but there's still a undertow racism that still is in America still. And that was just in 2006. So, but yeah, I like a lot of that movie. I like the, you know, I kind of liked it all the way through. I kind of like that the character kind of learns to be sort of better by the end of the movie. But then, you know, he goes back to Kazakhstan, and he just has, you know, his new wife who's a prostitute from Alabama. So it's like, you know, it leaves new ground for a sequel, but none of us could ever have thought we were going to ever get a Borat sequel because, you know, the gig is up. You know, how would Sacha Baron Cohen be able to convince America to fool America again? And he has. Or he has tricked America again in new ways. So, what are the new ways he's tricked America again, David?
Like how he went about doing it again, or what do you mean exactly?
How he went about it again, doing it again.
Disguises.
Many, many disguises. What were some of your, what was What do you think of all these new disguises?
You definitely don't look at them and think, oh, that's Borat or Sacha Baron Cohen, so it makes sense why it actually fooled people. Like, I think they were pretty well done for the most part.
Yeah. And, you know, and it was a good trick, and also it was a good coin on the hat because they showed everybody like just going up to Borat, you know, or Sacha Baron Cohen as Borat, going, "Hey, Borat, 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 Borat."
Yeah, I like how they kind of interwove that into the story.
I do too. And also, in the midst of this, you have his daughter that's joining the show.
That ended up being my favorite element because it was surprisingly emotional and very sweet. Like how his relationship evolves over the course of the movie when he actually learns to like show like you could say empathy and sympathy towards her. As he like actually kind of realizes that a daughter is equal to a son in a way, like the way that a lot of the world puts more emphasis on having sons and like the patriarchy, you know, kind of things, and like how he like grew to love his daughter. I thought that was really, really sweet. I liked that was probably what made me. I think if it wasn't for that element of the movie, it would just kind of feel like the same shtick all over again. But because I think that gives it so much heart.
Well, the reason why the daughter subplot, Tudar, I'm the reason why Judar's, you know, subplot is so important is you kind of need the storyline through Borat and Borat 2 is that Borat himself is kind of an immature man-child, you know, and, you know, in a way you see, you know, in the way that Borat kind of sets up Kazakhstan is that, or his version of Kazakhstan, is that it kind of, you know, propels, you know, man-children that don't really know how to respect women or don't know how to respect other people and, or other, you know, it, you know, anyone that's not a man. And again, his version of Kazakhstan, I don't know per se, but so the storyline through this, you know, seeing, you know, her, you know, Tudor kind of have her own, you know, rise into her own femininity, it really kind of, you know, challenges Borat's storyline and makes him kind of realize, I don't need to do this. I don't need to, you know, give away my daughter. I can, and that's really what, you know, I think, you know, and I think that's the most powerful part of the story. And it's the most story/character arc that both of these people have. Is that, you know, Tudor is basically there to, you know, educate her, not only herself, but educate her father. And then, you know, Borat is there to basically learn how to, basically how to love someone else. And not for his own, you know, his own pleasure, or not his own, you know, to love someone that won't, like, it won't be a benefit for him. If that's, because that's the whole, that's the whole reason he wanted Pamela Anderson. It was a mostly a beneficial to him relationship. It was a stalker relationship.
Yeah. So finally getting that selfless love, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with that, I'm gonna kind of put a spoiler warning here, because this movie's kind of tough to talk about without going into spoilers. And there is a good cameo at the very end of this movie that's kind of already spoiled at this point. If you just, I mean, even Google the movie itself, it gives it away. But but we'll save that for the very, very end of the show. But anyway, so the story is that, you know, he has, so like I said earlier, the story is Borat has to give a gift to Mike Pence to basically earn the respect, to earn America's respect for Kazakhstan, because Kazakhstan has been basically, after Borat's movie, has been basically disrespected, you know, it's been clowned at, essentially. So he comes up with this idea to, I'm going to give my daughter away to Mike Pence. And the way this whole goes about in the first act of this, first half of this movie, is kind of the craziest shit ever.
It's so wild.
And it culminates to the, let me see where, the CPAC conference that Mike Pence attends. Oh my gosh. Oh. What did you think about everything leading up to that?
The scene where they go to the clinic and they're talking about she ate a plastic baby, but they think she's talking about wanting to get an abortion, was probably one of the funniest things I've seen in a long time. Like that had me dying of laughter. Cause it was so, it tackled so many different aspects that are so true, but like just the fact there was that huge misunderstanding and neither side understood that there was a misunderstanding. And that was just hilarious.
It's only funny because they go to an actual, or to a supposed women's health center, and basically the ministry is there as the doctor. Mm-hmm. and trying to talk her out of it, but she's like, no, 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 for real, there is a baby inside of me, and it's gonna hurt when it comes out of me. And the more it goes down, you're just like, I can't believe this is happening. And the, you know, even the cupcake scene that precedes it is just hilarious. Mm-hmm. I mean, and, you know, even more striking, you have the Instagram model who is, like, trying to tell her, no, you gotta be submissive. You gotta be, you know, just, you know, open to anything. You basically have to be there for the men. I have never heard of this person. Have you ever...
Is she real?
I don't... Let's see if she is. I'm on the IMDb. I don't see her, but...
She's probably way down in the credits, so it'd be hard to find her.
Okay. We'll come back to that one. But either way, it's still just like, how is this happening in 2020? That's the whole thing. I think that's my whole question about all that happens in Borat. How is this happening in 2020?
It holds a mirror up to 2020 so well. It'll probably be dated and like eventually, but like it, I feel like it's a perfect reflection of 2020 in film form.
Absolutely. I mean, not only that, but halfway through this movie, I mean, they already are talking about the coronavirus and how, I mean, even Mike Pence says in the CPAC speech, his kind of like, you know, talk, I mean, he assures the crowd back then that the coronavirus is under control, and cut to, we're in October, and I don't even remember how many people are dead now. I think it's like 200 now, 200,000. But either way, it's just so, you're just sitting there. Like,
I will
just,
say, yeah, that was a brilliant twist.
It was.
I don't know if we want to jump that far ahead, but that was a brilliant twist.
Oh.
The whole twist of the movie, like towards the end. The revelation of what like the real plan was. Do you know what I'm talking about now?
Oh yeah, I do. I just found the person that plays.
Okay.
Let me see if she is real, because IMDb, she only has like two credits. Oh, okay. So it is not a real, I don't think it is a real person, but it is a type of perfume that Macy sells, or makeup. So maybe that's like a very
branding
subtle
tie-in.
Yeah. A weird tie-in. But yeah, there's a whole, it's a whole channel, it's a whole like makeup, you know, thing from specifically Macy's, the store.
There was, since it's released on Prime Video, there was Amazon Prime delivery at one point in the movie. Or does he talk to the Echo or something?
Yes, he does. He
That's
talks
what it
to
was.
Alexa. I think.
Yeah, he talks to Alexa, and then I believe there's a Prime delivery at one point in the movie, and I was like, obvious Amazon product placement, but I mean, it is very 2020. It's just funny that it's like, knowing that it's a Prime release, that they put that in there. I don't know, it's just funny to me. Mm-hmm. Kind of like if you watched The Morning Show on Apple TV, they all use iPhones and stuff.
Oh, that makes sense. I mean,
it makes sense, but it's just like, knowing it's an Apple production, mm-hmm. the fact they're all using Apple devices, it's just funny. Like, you know, one of those things.
It's like in the Sony movie where everyone uses a Sony device, but you don't know anyone that has a Sony phone.
Yeah, like it's more realistic it's realistic and it's product placement, but with Sony it's like, what?
Yeah,
it's just product placement, shameless product placement.
It is very much so. Well, they kind of probably had to add that in there because I think last I heard that Amazon paid like a lot of money just to even have this movie stream right now. Because this was originally at Universal. Universal basically funded the whole thing and was going to distribute it later this year. But then the coronavirus hit, closing all theaters. And then, so I think Cohen's company made a deal with Amazon to kind of, you know, this is what I've heard. Maybe this is, I'm paraphrasing a bit. They brought the two companies together to basically sell off Borat to Amazon for about $80 million. So, yeah, there probably was some product placement in there. But, yeah, so, and then, you know, after the Mike Pence thing, they then decide, okay, we're going to offer you to Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, and well, then, first we left out that they were originally going to offer a monkey.
Oh, yeah.
And then learning that, and when they arrive, there is no monkey. There's just a bloody Tutar who had eaten the monkey. And he had to constantly change his plan. And his fax messages back and forth with the leader were pretty hilarious. Oh, another funny scene was when he gets the cell phone. He gets the iPhone. And he's like learning how to work it, and like the FaceTime, like he's like confused. He's like, "You be quiet," but he's really talking to him like right there, like on the phone. Like they're FaceTiming, but he's confused because he doesn't realize that he's the same person.
Yeah. It's really. It is. It's low hanging fruit stuff, but it's so funny. I did.
And then everything with Tutar, yeah. Like, it's like, poignant commentary in the sense of like her like coming into her femininity, like you were saying, and like learning like, kind of like learning the truth of this world and everything, and as opposed to what her father's told her in these ridiculous stories. Oh, speaking of the ridiculous stories, like the animated, like Cinderella-esque, like.
Melania
movie that she watched, yeah, it, oh, that was something else.
Yeah, by the way, I did actually find the doing a little bit more digging, I did actually find the Instagram person. She's not related to Macy's at all, so I don't think so, but yes, because there's a couple articles written about like how she felt like she was misled. Oh well. Anyway, but yes, you know, and then she goes, and then, you know, Tutar goes to this Republican woman's conference, or this, like, club meeting or whatever, and she explains to them, like, we have to rise up, we have to do this, and they're all like, sure, you go for it. We don't talk about it, but sure, go for it.
She like goes and becomes like a reporter, but like a conservative reporter, because she's like been like kind of, she's still kind of being misled by the people around her, but in a different way. So it kind of like sways her viewpoint, and what she ends up becoming, like a journalist. And then the pandemic enters the picture, and we see Borat getting stuck in a home with some Trumpers.
Yes. I have so many questions about them too, but I won't dig into that here. But it is interesting that they're just there. And they're all like, yeah, we don't like Trump, or we have all these conspiracy theories. And then they read the actual like book that Borat has given his daughter, and they're like, yeah, this is bullshit. What the fuck is this?
And then when he goes to that conservative rally, oof, have you seen the actual behind the scenes where like there's like there's a footage on the Borat Twitter account where it shows like what actually happened while they were filming that scene, where people like stormed the stage and like tried to like attack him and stuff. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. What more?
It is insane.
I might have to share that link to later. So I'll have to watch it and then share it to everybody. But yeah, that's this. Wait, so they figured out that he,
I don't know that they knew that he was Sacha Baron Cohen, but they were mad that he walked onto stage. You know how like in the context of the movie, he kind of just goes on the stage and performs a song, and like mm-hmm. it seems like the crowd's like vibing with it. And they got mad that he got on the stage for some reason. I don't know the exact context of the clip. I just know the context based on what's in the movie and based on the clip I saw, that they're mad that he's on the stage. So they start chasing him. He gets into like the van and they like lock the door and they're like trying to get in the door.
Right. Yeah. So like, and I guess that's why we never see our two Trumpers again. Right.
Yeah. I don't think they're shown for the rest of the movie.
Oh, well, that's too bad. Anyway, but yeah, so, and then then Borat tries to stop his daughter, no, you don't, or does he realize at the rally, or does he realize later that no, she doesn't have to go to Rudy Giuliani?
He realizes later when he goes back to the lady he paid to babysit her to get the like chains or whatever, and she like chains. Kind of tells him something and he kind of realizes like, oh, I made a mistake. And then there's that scene, the controversial scene that I do like know it, watching it. I kind of watched it with the context of knowing everything about it beforehand. It does kind of like, I can see it as either way of what was said, like where it does like definitely in the context of the movie, it does seem very creepy and like definitely like he was expecting something, but like I can also see where it looked like he was honestly just like tucking his shirt in. But like I don't know, like the way it's framed, it's like, okay, yeah, something's going on here. If that makes sense. Like, I can see it either way.
It's weird because here's what, so I don't know.
They definitely fooled him. Like, I will say, yeah. They definitely fooled him, and she definitely was, like, seducing him and, like, totally kind of playing into it for the purposes of the plot. And he was kind of, like, you could tell he was kind of like enjoying it and like kind of getting into it, but it was like the part where the controversial part where he's like,
yes,
reaching in his pants. Like that's the thing where I'm like a little unclear if what he's, I can view it in what he said is partial truth, not saying that he wasn't planning on intending or doing anything bad, but like, it does like, it's so quick. It's hard for me to really like definitively say, this is objectively true any either way. So I kind of see it as kind of in the middle where it's like he may have been doing this, but his real intentions were this side.
Right. I mean that's all true. And I mean, and if there's anything that can be said about these people that are going on the air, they are, you know, they are saying, you know, nasty stuff and doing nasty stuff, but, you know, whatever the context is, it's still up to the beholder in terms of the movie and then what you find out later. Because, I mean, after Borat came out, even after the first one came out, everyone that worked, that appeared in the movie almost sued or tried to sue Sacha Baron Cohen's company or the movie itself afterwards. So it's interesting to see where, so it's interesting to hear these stories of like people either try and explain themselves or try and explain the way the fucked up things they said or did. But also you do watch the movie, you're going, this is kind of fucked up. I mean, and that's really what you get down to. And even then, it's like, I mean, even regardless of what Giuliani is saying, it's still pretty unprofessional.
It's still a pretty unprofessional either, situation. Regardless of whether what he says is true or not, it's still gross and demeaning and, you know, all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, so it is controversial. And I think, you know, for... it is really gross and it is very creepy. And the movie even plays it very creepy. The whole interview is like, it's so cringeworthy.
Well, especially like going into it, knowing that that scene is coming. Like, I feel like that knowledge made it even more unsettling. Like the fact that I had knowledge that there was a controversial scene with him and her in the movie where they kind of tricked him into that. I like knowing, having that foresight, like made it even more unsettling to watch.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. But Borat comes in like dressed as whatever he is, whatever is going in that moment, whatever that was weird. Yeah. And then it's all over. They have a powwow and then they go back to Kazakhstan and they realize the twist of the movie. And when go ahead.
Which is that they originated the coronavirus.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's really funny when you, you know, watch it and you're just like, and then you see the the cameo in Australia with, you know, Mr. Hanks himself. And then then you see the Italy and you're just like, oh my God, of course. Of course. It's all Borat's fault. I don't know how funny that joke will be once all this pandemic is said and done. Because in the end, it's a real pandemic where people have actually died.
But the purposes of satire, I feel like they played it like right on the line pretty well. Like they could have gone too far with it, and I think they kind of restrained themselves like adequately.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, but it's so funny though. And then what's even funnier is that Borat has been to all these Republican like events or rallies. Mm. And you're just like, oh my God. Of course.
Where no one was wearing a mask. And
oh my God. So in other words, Borat's message to the world is please use your mask. You never know. And
then we flash forward and Kazakhstan is now a feminist nation.
Yes, a feminist nation. And not only that, they have, you know, they've gotten rid of the tradition of kill the Jew, which really, what the fuck? But they have, you know, killed the Karens. And save the Mr. Dr. Fauci.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Overall, yeah. And then, you know, you get the sweet little ending where they're both wearing the Borat suit and they're reporting it together. And it's nice. But yeah, the movie does end with Borat blackmailing the Kazakh government for being like, we will not say anything unless you become a feminist nation. But yeah. And that was Borat. So what do you think was different this time around in terms of like the political commentary this time around versus the original Borat?
In some ways they're tackling the same subject matter, but then like there's also new things that have developed in light of what's going on that they kind of dug deeper into. I think they both hold a mirror up to what America was like at that time pretty well.
I think that is, I think that's the key of the Sacha Baron Cohen formula, is that it has to be a mirror. It has to be a mirror reflection. It can't be just, you know, it can't be just, you know, shock and value, and then also, you know, look at what this person says. It has to be reflective. And I think that's the trick of Cohen, is that he can basically play, you know, kind of play psychology and then, you know, get into these people's heads by agreeing with them and then getting them comfortable to say or do some of the most outrageous stuff. I think, you know, one of the most key elements of both movies is that he goes to a rally and sings and gets the crowd going at one point and then against him towards the end. So I think that in, you know, I think that's in his way, I think that's Borat's way of showing what America is that these guys are comfortable getting into, you know, to doing certain things and to doing bad things, but then when it comes down, when you peel more off, they become more, you know, agitated and more like, no, this isn't a, they become back more guarded. But yeah. So is there anything else to talk about with Borat? I've not seen Bruno or The Great Dictator.
I've seen neither also, but I don't know. I feel like we kind of touched on, at least in broad strokes, everything. I kind of mentioned some few specific scenes that really stood out to me. I mean, the biggest standout is the daughter and her subplot. I think that's what really makes the movie work.
Yeah, I think trying to get Maria Bakalova. I'm not pronouncing that right. Trying to see if there's a pronunciation.
Borat subsequent movie film for Best Picture. Let's get that campaign going.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, do you think it has a shot? I mean, I think the last movie got some Oscar nominations.
I don't know if it did or not, but I think it, and the sense of it being a not a typical year, it's a possibility. It's just that the Academy also doesn't really tend to really acknowledge a lot of comedies, so we'll see. But it would be a great surprise.
So last time around, for Borat, Sacha Baron Cohen did win the Golden Globe Award for Borat, and then he was nominated for an Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay. That was the only nomination I could make out for the Oscars, but you know, Borat did lose the screenplay award to The Departed, so sad. So I don't know if there's a good Oscar chances. I mean, I think you and I are about to see the Oscar race starting to finally kick up. So we'll see. I mean, you know, obviously everyone right now is raving about Mank, which we've been talking about for the last month, but still, it's just been, I think, you know, Borat does, because right now it's the talk, but we'll see if Amazon does anything. They kind of have not really done any Oscar campaigns for their movies lately.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very unlikely that it would happen, but it's just a possibility that would be kind of nice. If it deserves any nomination, the actress that plays the daughter should be nominated for Best Supporting Actress. Absolutely. If I were to push any one element of the movie, it would be that.
Absolutely. For best supporting, right? Or lead?
I could see either way, but I think she would probably have a better chance in supporting.
Okay. All right. I think we've covered all of Borat for now. Till 2034, when we get to Borat's subsequent third adventure, Boogaloo. But yeah. So David, with that said, where can the good people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and everywhere at Wiser_David and writing on film assessment. I'm hoping to get back and catch up on all the reviews I've need to write.
Absolutely. This has been a little bit of a catch up for me because I've done in the last week, I've done the Hubie Halloween podcast, the Trial Chicago 7, and now we're doing Borat. So and all the links to David's blog will be in the description below. Please check it out. It's a great blog. Anyway, thanks everyone. You can find me at Movie Kale. That's where I'll post all information about this podcast, what we're going to do. And what we're going to do is we're going to delay the 200th episode, which will be Mank, till December, and when everyone can watch it instead of just, and when we can, you know, actually talk about it. So, and then we will, in between that, do two different retrospectives. The Spielberg of 85 retrospective, which includes the Goonies, Young Sherlock Holmes, The Color Purple, and then I'm gonna start out with Back to the Future trilogy, because you know the Blu-ray of that just, or the 4K Blu-ray just came out, and we might as well talk about it since it is the 35th, or roughly the 35th anniversary this year. And then we will move on to the submarine retrospective, which is The Hunt for Red October and Crimson Tide. Two completely different movies, but they both take place in the submarine, so it's the submarine edition retrospectives. And that'll be it till the 200th episode. We will do a couple more after retrospectives in between the Mank episode and the 201st episode, which it will be, of course, like Soul. And then we'll decide from there. There's not that many new releases, but there are going to be a bunch of VOD releases coming soon, as I know. And then in January, of course, you got the WandaVision, and then so I think we'll keep doing this kind of structure till everything goes back to normal. Thanks everyone. Thanks David. We'll be back in just a little bit with the Back to the Future trilogy.
Where is his crumb? What is the problem, officer?
Got somebody that's strapped to the top of your car. He's in that passenger seat, boss.
Only men and bears are allowed inside car.
I'm here to give my daughter as a gift to someone close to the throne.
I need a dress with real sexy peels.
This is a bag that just goes over the dress.
They're nice.
I really like this.
Let us present Sandra Jessica Parker Drummond.
I want this one with the baby on it. I have a baby inside me.
Can you take it out?
No, we cannot. That's not what we do here.
I feel bad because I was the one who put the baby in her.
Did you ever put one in your daughter?
No, I didn't.
Where is it?